Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. How are we doing? Great. Great. So this week has been interesting. By the way, if you're a guest here watching online, glad you're here. Glad you're here. So this week has been interesting because I've been home alone, friends. Yes. So yeah, my wife and my daughter, they're on a trip. So the good thing is I'm alone with two cats, which is the joy of my life, by the way. Not really. But I've been texting and talking to my wife and all that, and it's been good. But you know, I just gotta admit something, honestly, just with you guys, just keep it here. A lot of these conversations are about the cats. Like, I don't think they care about how I'm doing. Like, they've never asked me, are you eating? Am I fed? You know what I'm saying? Am I taken care of? It's always about, did you feed the cats? Did you clean the poop? Like, yes. How are they? Literally, my daughter sends me the first text. She's out of the country. She texts me. I'm like, okay, what's it going to be? Need more pictures of cats. Text me pictures of my cats. I'm like, Google them. Like, Google cats, okay? All kinds of pictures. All kinds of pictures. Literally, the other day, they asked me a question, and I was shocked by it. We were FaceTiming, and they were like, hey, so have you been spending time with the cats? I'm sorry, what? Am I spending time with the cats? No, I'm not spending time with the cats. Like, I'm not. Why would I do that? Why would I do that? And they kind of made me feel guilty. Like, no, they need you to spend time with them. I'm like, no. So you know what? I tried it. And guess what? It was awkward for both of us. It was super awkward. Like, I was trying to pet the cat. One of them was like looking at me, was like, what are you doing, bro? Like, what are you doing? We don't have this kind of relationship. What are you doing? You know, the other one, I'm like, hey, come here. And it's running away. He's running away. I'm like, no, let me love you. Let me love you. No, it's awkward. It's so crazy. What's interesting, though, is it's like, I don't know how to spend time with them. Okay, I just don't know. And there are certain people, you know, it's easy to spend time with. In certain relationships, it's just natural. In others, it's a little harder. Now, we all have relationships that are just good relationships, deep relationships, meaningful, significant. But it is a little awkward sometimes spending time with that person. And honestly, the truth is, God is one of those people. Your relationship with God it's essential, it's needed, but sometimes it can get super awkward for some of us. If you haven't been raised in the church, you're just like, I don't know this new relationship with God. I'm not quite sure exactly what I'm supposed to do. And the good thing is that we're talking about that. And last week, Pastor Kristen talked about the foundational deal, the idea of like talking to God, this idea of communicating with God. And I think so important about that. Because when I grew up Muslim, and I grew up in a faith that was very different from in practice when it comes to Christianity. And so we had like these prayers, these salats. So we used to do those five times a day, and that was our deal. But when I got introduced to Christianity, and especially this idea of communicating and spending time with him, it was about quiet times. Have you ever heard of the phrase quiet time, maybe? Quiet time, right? And I was like, what is a quiet time? Now, again, you might think this is funny, but no, I was like, literally, what is a quiet time? Is it when you use your inside voice with God? Like, what is that? Is it when everything's supposed to be quiet? What are we supposed to do here? I'm not quite sure. I mean, I was in college, so I was like, you know what? I'm figuring this thing out. And then there was this other term called devotionals. Your daily what? Devotional. Have you done your daily devotion? And I was like, what is that? Because again, I grew up in the Middle East. And so Eastern mind frame, I'm thinking a devotional means puja. Now, if you don't know what puja is a Hindu practice. I grew up with Hindus. So I'm like, that's what they would do, their daily devotion. And their daily devotion involved a altar in their house that they would go and do their devotions. There was like incense burning, some stuff being said, and that was their daily devotion. So when I got introduced to, hey, have you done your daily devotion? I'm like, I thought you were Jesus followers. What's happening here? What's happening? And you know what's funny for me? I had to kind of figure out how to spend time with God. So I don't want that for you. So that's why our first week, if you didn't catch that, you need to watch that, catch up on that. Because it's about communicating with God. But I want to move us forward in our relationship. And in fact, for some of us, this is going to be life-changing. Now, I don't make that claim like you're like, oh, wow, okay, your message is going to be so amazing. No, I think for some of us, it's going to set us free from this idea of what a quiet time and a devotional is. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, those changed my life. But it's hard for some of us to spend time with God as in just talking and praying with Him. So here's the deal. If I want you to know this, and if you, this is the one line, this is the phrase, this is it. If it all boils down to this thought, we're going to put it on the screen for you, okay? All right, so here's the big idea. God not only wants to communicate with you, God wants to, help me out, create with you. God doesn't want to just simply communicate. He wants to create with you. He wants to create experiences and memories with you, not just talk about things you want to do and you would like to do. He wants to, in fact, do them with you. Now, you might think, this is interesting, it's cute, but I don't know if it's really true. And I would say you have got it all wrong, because there are other religious leaders and other prophets back in the day, and also world religions are founded on this idea that there's a God out there who wants you to communicate with Him. He wants you to pray to Him and do devotions to Him and all these things. But I don't know if you've ever stopped to consider the teachings of Jesus and when Jesus and the life of Jesus, because when He comes in, He's illustrating with His words and His ways that He is a different, this God out there wants a different kind of relationship with you. And in fact, He wants a relationship that's not just about communicating. God wants to what? God wants to what? Create with you. Create memories and experience and create the life that you and I dream about and think about and pray about. God wants to create with you. He wants to do it with you. Now, let me read you this passage. Okay, our first passage that we're going to read, it's found in Matthew 4. Okay, so Matthew 4, and this on purpose, I'm using a paraphrase translation. It's called The Message. It's kind of a refreshing translation if you ever want to check that out. So let me just start off. It says here, it says, walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers. How many? Two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular job, okay? It's their regular work. That's what they did every day. It's what they did. That's what who they were. It's who they were. Jesus said to them, come with me, and I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions. They simply dropped their nets and followed. Now, it's interesting because Matthew's recording something that happened. We don't know what happened in the moment. Like, there's so many other things that happened. None of us have ever, like, listened to something, dropped everything, and let go, you know? That's not a thing. Besides, they had families as well. So there's a lot of context to this. Part of that context is what is that when this happened. You see, this was the first calling of the disciples. Like, this is the first time Jesus was handpicking people. Because before what he had done was he had gotten baptized. And when he got baptized, there was a big to-do there, especially with the people there, because it was one of the first times that John the Baptist, the guy who baptized Jesus, was like, hey, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So it was the first confession of who he was. But then right after the baptism, Jesus does something. He goes for 40 days and 40 nights and fasts and prays, which is, in one sense, normal in light of when you read other religious figures in history. Meaning, like, if there are moments where these people are isolated, they go out, they get a revelation of sorts, and they begin to live a certain kind of life. Now, if you're not familiar with Buddhism started by Gautama Buddha, and Gautama Buddha was a guy who was actually a prince who lived in a castle. And one day he left and toured his village, and he saw so much suffering. And then he fasted as well. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, I think, as well. I'm not quite sure, but he did fast for a long time. And then he had this revelation that he needed to remove suffering. So that's why in Hinduism, there's this idea of like, let's remove all suffering. Like, we don't want to cause suffering. We don't want to create suffering. And what high-level Buddhists do is they move away from society and they live by themselves. So like the Tibetan monks, there are these people who've basically left their regular work, and they've gone out and they've lived the life all to reach this certain level of spirituality. And there seems to be this idea in other religions too, that the more you get spiritual, the more you spend time alone in isolation. And this passage, what we read here, is the opposite. So when Jesus comes back after being 40 days, 40 nights, and then he gets tempted by Satan, if you know that story, right after that, he doesn't go start doing miracles. What does he do? We just read. He starts picking the people he wants to create this kingdom with. He starts doing that. I want you to know that's significant. That's no other religious leader did that or has ever done that. God, he says he's the Son of God. He comes in, and the first thing he does is he starts picking people to create a life with. See, what's interesting is, and he calls them, when he calls them, he doesn't call them to back to the temple. If you notice that, he didn't pick them from the temple either. Now, picking a rabbi, picking disciples, that's normal. That was normal. But he would usually pick them from the temple. And then they would stay in the temple because that's what they would do. They were practicing, or they were being raised up to become rabbis who would hang out and live in and teach in the temple. Jesus goes to fishermen, first of all, fishermen, okay? You know, they're cussing like sailors, okay? Fishermen, and he goes, you, come follow me. He's like, where are we going? To the temple? No, we're not going to be, I'm going to change your identity and make you the person you dreamed about. And it's not caught up in your regular life and your regular work and who you think you are. I'm asking you to create with me a life that'll blow your mind, that changes your identity. I'm asking you to come with me. And if you would do that, if you would obey me, if you would do this, you're not going to be better at your work. You're not going to be better at all these things. There's more than that. I'm not going to make you better fishermen. I'm going to give you a purpose. I'm going to give you a level of satisfaction, a level of success, a level of fulfillment in life that you've never dreamed about. But I want you to come with me because I want to do stuff with you. Not that I want to take you and let's go to the temple and have a devotion and have a quiet time. No, I want to what? Not just communicate with you. I want to what? Create with you. See, this is so different. I want you to know this is extremely different because God, it seems like he knows and Jesus knows. That's why I feel like the gospel is so alive and real because it speaks to our human condition. It speaks to us who we are as people. Like we know there are people we have an amazing relationship with. It's because when we get together, we tell stories of the stupid things we did. How many of you have that? I've got a buddy of mine, my brother-in-law. Okay, we did some stupid things. Okay, one of the stupidest things is that, well, it was financially profitable, but it was stupid. We said yes to building for his cousin an outdoor, like on above ground pool. Like he got this thing, it was massive. Okay, he was like, you guys, I'll hire you for a week, come and stay. It was out of town. You come and stay, we'll feed you and we'll pay you and you guys do this. You gotta clear the ground, you gotta do all this stuff. First of all, I grew up in the desert. You know how much grass is in the desert? None. Unless you're in Dubai on a golf resort, but that's about it. So I didn't have no idea. My brother-in-law, he had all the tools. He was like, hey dude, I can do this. I'm like, okay. And then and water. A pool. Okay. All right, buddy. And so we did it. Yeah, we spent a week there putting up stuff, putting it all together. The cousin would walk by, go, good job, kids. Good job, guys. Okay, because we were barely in our 20s. And then when we were done, I was like, I looked at Paul and I was like, hey, there's a lot of parts still here. Like, I feel like they all need to go in there somewhere, right? It's like, we have a lot of leftover parts. Quick tip here, pro tip here. If you have a lot of leftover parts building anything, you didn't do it right. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't. We didn't. It was a disaster. It was a disaster because the cousin was so nice. I think he walked by and midway he was like, this was a bad idea, but he just encouraged us. We're like, hey, you want to fill it up with water? He's like, no, we're good. We're good. No, we're good. I'm like, okay. And so we left and then we heard the story. They did fill it up with water. And once they did, it all fell apart. Oh, and we still laugh about that story, but we made some good money. Good money. Good money doing that. But you know what though with him? He texted me the other day and it's so funny. He texted me and he's always calls me names. But anyways, he was like, hey, jerk or hey, punk. He said, don't ignore my text, call me back, dum-dum, something like that, okay? And then I was like, listen, I'm not trying to, it's, first of all, it's called ghosting, look it up. Okay, boomer, okay, and I'm doing it on purpose. But the truth is that I will, he texts me and he calls me and I just don't call him back, okay? Yeah, I don't. And because we have that relationship, and he knows that. He's like, hey, seriously, call me, okay? Seriously. Because our relationship is not based on necessarily communicating a whole lot. It's about doing things together. And so our whole relationship is based on the fact that, yeah, we've hiked several times the Appalachian Trail together. I mean, we've gone spelunking. Anybody know what spelunking is? In West Virginia, people. Who, as a brown dude, I made it. Okay, anyways, but I'm like, we've done some crazy stuff together. I mean, we've done kickboxing classes and CrossFit classes and done just ridiculous things together. And our relationship is based on memories I have with him, not because I check in with him every day and go, hey, bro, how you doing? And so I just want to move us from this idea that maybe, just maybe, the awkwardness you feel in your relationship with God is because you've always thought it's all about communicating and you don't have enough words. Because you have people who talk a lot and you don't. And so you just sit there in your quiet time and you're like, I'm bored out of my mind. I'm done talking. How long does this last? Oh God, right? Maybe, just maybe, God's saying, hey, get up and do stuff with me. Do something with me. Create with me. Come follow me. I'm asking you to follow, not just believe. Follow. Move. Let's do something together. So think about the thing you worry about the most. We all have something. Maybe you have a couple of things. You worry about the most. You think about the most. You're like, I wish I could. I wish we had. I have hope. You're like, you know what? I want to, in the next couple of years, do this or do that. Is there anything that you want to do in the next couple of years? What if you did it with him? What if he's saying, I want you to do it with me. Can I come with you? Can we not just communicate, can we what? Create together. So he's the first thing Jesus does, the first thing God wants Jesus to do is he wants to pick the king, the people he's going to create the kingdom with. As if God was saying, I'm not creating this kingdom without who? You. I'm not doing this. So if we read this idea of how he picked them, we follow along the story, you end up in another passage in John, and you end up where Jesus is picking another guy. But this is very interesting, and again, speaks to who we are and our insecurities. Okay, I think this is great, especially because this is a paraphrase translation called The Message. And so it just gives us a little bit more depth, I would say. So John 1, it starts here. It says, Philip went and found Nathanael and told him. So what happens here is now people are telling people like, hey, I think this Jesus is this rabbi. He's picking people, and I think you need to come check him out. You gotta come check him out. So Philip goes to Nathanael, tells him, and he says this: we have found what? The one. We found Neo. No, not really. No, we found the one. Matrix. Anyways, okay, we found the one Moses wrote in the law, the one preached by the prophets. It's who? It's who? It's Jesus. Yeah, Joseph's son, the one from Nazareth. So Nathanael says, first thing he says, Nazareth? Really? Rock Hill? What? I mean, you know, whatever you want to put over there. What? Lake Wiley? What? No. Morrisville? No. I'm using all the names. Dilver? Whatever. Let me keep on going. He says, and then he says this. This is the paraphrase, right? What does he say? Help me out. He says what? You got to be kidding. Like, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. Like, have you ever heard something and it's so outrageous, you're like, really? Really, though? Seriously, though? Really? Okay, so who says this? Who says this? You got to be kidding. Nathanael. All right. But then Philip says, come. Just come, man. Just come. Just come and see for yourself. Okay? So now he's convincing this guy. Just come. I know you don't believe this. I know you have doubts. I know you're thinking all kinds of craziness. You're thinking, Joseph's son. Yeah, we grew up with him. Really, that guy? No, I don't think so. Okay, just come. Just come. So as they're coming towards Jesus, what happens? When Jesus saw them coming, he said something. He says this. He says, there's a real Israelite, not a false bone in his body. Now, how hard do you think Philip laughed at that point? In other translations, he's like, he looks at him, he says, hey, there's a guy who has no falsehood in him. And I'm sure, number one, Philip is like, I'm not sure. And then Nathanael, what do you think he thinks? He was like, I just made fun of you. And you're giving me this compliment out loud. Was Jesus being sarcastic? I don't think so. And then Nathanael reacts like I think all of us would, right? Nathanael said, I love this translation. Okay, help me out. What did he say? He said this. Where did you get that idea? Like, where did you get that idea? You don't know me. And then Jesus says something, which I think if you've ever read this passage, we might brush over it or read over it. He says, one day, long before Philip called you here, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, before we go to Nathanael's response, he just said, hey, one day, before this moment, I saw you in another moment. It was under the fig tree. Do you remember that? Now, see, I think what gets lost in translation here is that one day is not one day, it's that day. That day. So if we were to just sit in this, he says something to Nathanael that's so profound, because if you read and if you already have read what his reaction is, what Nathanael's reaction is, it's outrageous. It's outrageous, okay? So if we were to sit in this, I think what Jesus is saying is, and maybe he's saying to us too, is like, hey, you remember that one day that everything was so dark? You remember that one day when you heard the news? You remember that one day that you got the text? You remember that one day that moment you were called into the office? You remember that one day when you found out something about a loved one that broke your heart? Hey, you remember that one day when you're just like, I just don't want to be here anymore? Hey, you remember that one day in your car when you just totally lost it? You remember that one day when you were like, I'm just going to keep on drinking? Hey, you remember that day? I saw you. Like, I was there in that moment with you. I saw you. I saw you. I just want us to consider maybe, just maybe, God saying, hey, I remember I was in that moment with you that day. And I know that day, it was not just a moment that lasted. It was a life that started. Because that report you got, that news changed everything. And now you're living a different kind of life now because of that one day under the fig tree. Nathaniel, you're living a different kind of life. And I'm saying that there's no falsehood in you because I remember before that one day. Before that one day, I knew who you were. And that one day changed you. And so I'm looking at you and I'm calling you something you are not right now, but you could be. And if you would follow me, you'll do that. So that's why I think Nathaniel answers like this. What does he say? He says, Rabbi, which is Rabboni, like my rabbi. He says, you are the what? Help me out. What is that? You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. He goes from like, really though? Not sure, Joseph's son, to you are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. Because when Jesus said those words, he knew that Jesus knew him. And so what does he say? Jesus said this, and I love it. He says, you've become a believer simply because I say I saw you one day sitting under that fig tree. You're saying that you believe just because I was there in that moment. You believe because of that, because I met you in that moment. You're a believer because you found grace and mercy and acceptance and vulnerability. You found mercy in that moment. You believe, and maybe some of us were like, yeah, in that moment, I felt God's rest, his peace, his supernatural power. I felt it. I know it. You believe because of a moment you had experience. You believe because I met you in your darkest places. I think that's great. That's great. If you believe and you have a relationship with me because something transferred right there and you were, and whatever I did by creating that moment, it communicated something with me to you. It's awesome. But there's more to that. Jesus says this. He says, if you believe because I saw you, you haven't, help me out, you haven't seen what? Anything yet. Anything yet. Before this is over, you're going to see heaven open and the God's angels descending to the Son of Man and ascending again. Before this is over, because there's stuff we're going to do, but before this party ends, buddy, it's going to blow your mind. Like what you see right now, you're going to see stuff that you've never seen before. You've never seen before. See, I think sometimes, I know like the word obedience, have you heard of that word obedience? Like obedience is that word is found in the context of either, you know, parenting or spirituality. And it's always kind of negative. Like I don't like to obey. But when God calls us to obedience, it's not because he's inviting you to do something. He's inviting you to become someone more than who you are right now. So when God says, I want you to come, I want you to be part of this, before this thing ends, before if you jump on with me, if you live a life of a believer with me, if you do that, it's not going to require you sitting around just having your quiet time. It's going to require you getting up and doing things with me, creating memories, creating experiences, risking for me, having adventures. You're moving forward in life. It means that you're not just communicating with me. You are what? You're creating with me the life you dream about. I'm moving you out of that. I'm calling you to what you could become. So in the moment, the place of worry in your life, the place that you want to create something, what if God's inviting you to let him in there and then you create together? You create and you go, God, we're going to build this life together. And you know, and I know, relationships are great when you're first dating or you're first in a relationship where, you know, like, you know, maybe it's a friendship and you're like, you guys are talking, you're flowing. There's kind of this chemistry. You're like, this is so easy. We just like the same things. It's so easy, so easy. And then you go on a trip with them. Right? Then you're like, oh no. Oh no. Like, there are people in your life, you're like, oh, they are an amazing hang, but you are never going to be their roommate. Ever. You will never hire them. You know what I'm saying? You're like, nah, not happening. Because there are people that when you start creating with them, it's a whole different ball game. That's why some of us got into relationships. We're like, oh man, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one. And then all of a sudden you start creating a life together and they're like, they don't like anything you like. And they don't want to create the life that you want to create. And then we got a problem. You see, your next step in moving towards God is like you and him create together. And what's amazing about this story with Nathaniel is not just that, but it also speaks into our insecurity. It speaks to our insecurities and how Jesus compliments us first. Several years ago, I got a chance to play basketball at Staples Center in LA. I was in LA for a conference, and the guy who was doing this conference, he had a lot of strings, you know, he could pull. And right after the game, I'm not even sure who was playing, sorry. Okay, not really into basketball, but he was like, hey, right after the game, when they clean up, they're starting to clean up, we have like a half an hour and we can play a pickup, you know, we can play basketball on the same place where they played. I'm like, yeah, because I don't play basketball, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you don't want me, you know, like anyways. So I'm like, this is a great experience. So I'm there, I'm like, oh wow. And the guys with me, they're so jacked. They're like, oh my gosh, we are playing with, they're playing, you know, I guess, I don't know who the team was again. Okay, so they're picking teams. And the guy who hosted the event, he was like, he looked at me, he was like, hey, he's like, Naeem, you're on my team. And I remember this. I said it out loud. I was like, his name is Erwin. And I said, Erwin, you do not want me on your team. If you have me on your team, we will lose badly. He's like, nope, I want you on my team. Did we lose badly? Of course we did. Okay. I'm not saying maybe the other people were bad also. Okay. Maybe. But what I realized there, and I think what you need to realize, when God looks at you, and I think some of us go, you don't want me on your team. You don't. You like, I know you're doing, you're creating this new church, this new movement, this. I know you're trying to move this kingdom forward, but you don't want me on your team. You really don't. Like, you don't want me on your team. Like, when it comes to like growing, you know, a church, a local church, you're like, you don't want me on your volunteer team. You don't want me. You don't want me to speak for you. You don't want me to do. You don't want me on your team, because if you put me on your team, you will what? You lose. And I think what Nathaniel found out is that God doesn't care if he wins, as long as you are on his team. He just wants to play. He just wants to. You see, so that's why when God calls us to do something and we're like, is this gonna work? Are we gonna be successful? Is this gonna happen? And God's like, hey, can we not worry about that? How about we just do it together? We're gonna lose. Yeah. where we will be what? We'll be together. We'll do this. We'll laugh about this together. You remember when you told me, or I thought you told me, to talk to so-and-so and do this? That was wrong. And maybe God's like, yeah, that was. That was funny. I let you do it, though, because I was laughing. Yeah, when you read stories of the disciples, Jesus insists of doing things together. By the way, I think sometimes the disciples hinder Jesus more than help them. Like, they're doing the opposite thing sometimes. It feels like if you look at the disciples and their resumes, you're like, they are a bunch of losers. Like, I mean, I'm not being harsh about this. You just read their stories and you're like, really? You thought of that? You thought that was a good idea? Like, even Peter was told he was going to, like, be the first guy who was the church was going to be built on, and he was the leader and all that. And remember, Peter was also the guy who betrayed people. But Jesus also did the opposite. He walked on what? Water. He walked on water. But did you also know Peter is the guy that right before they got him to arrest Jesus in the garden after they got praying all night? I'm sure Peter was, like, snoring all night because Jesus actually woke them up and said, are you asleep again? Do you know what Peter did? He cut a guy's ear off. He went to stab the guy who grabbed Jesus, cut his ear off. I kid you not. Do you know what Jesus had to go right before he went to jail? He was like, oh my gosh. He picked up the ear and healed the guy. He healed the guy right before he was going to go get tortured by the same people. I don't know about you, but I think there's sharper people than there. See what I'm saying? There are better people than us, okay? There are purer people than us. There are nicer people than us. There are more talented people than us. But he looks at you, he goes, I know you're broken. I know relationships have been very hard for you, but I want you on my team. I want to create with you. And I promise you this, though, if you would create, if you would let me, and if you would obey, like, the promptings, like, you feel this deep insecurity about, you know, your finances, so that's why you're not generous. If you would just break out of that, you will tap in and into a world and in a life that you never knew existed. I know you're like, you want to do everything by yourself, and you it's all about your logic, and if it doesn't make sense to you, you're not going to do it. But if you would just be courageous and step out of that, if you would just do that, you'll step into a space and have opportunities that you'd never dreamed were possible. I know that you're filled with fear because of all the things that are going on in your life and have happened in your life. But if you would just be brave enough to say yes to me and to this new opportunity or to this thing before you, and that you feel and you know that it's me, if you would just do it, you'll experience a life you've never experienced before. If you would just move out of this image that you have that you always have to win in life, if you would just quit trying to win and just trying to be with me, it'll change everything about you. So I want to pray that over us, because again, spending time with God doesn't need to be boring. It doesn't need to be awkward, because it can move us from not just talking to him, but actually creating with him. That we move from a place of, like, just spending time in prayer, which is, again, good, and reading, that's good, yes. But then you get up and actually do things together. Create memories and experiences together with God. He doesn't want to do it without you. So let me pray for us. Can I do that? Let's stand together. Let me just pray over you. So Lord God, I thank you for who we could be. I thank you for who we could be. You already know who we are. I pray for our future self. I pray for our future self that is a lot more courageous than our present self. I pray for our future self that's a lot more faithful. I pray for the future self that's a lot more free and a lot more at rest with itself. I pray for that future self, God, that has a deep sense of confidence, not because things are working out in the present, but God, that future self seems to be a different kind of person. God, I pray that we would move from just believing in you, but working with you. And then all of a sudden we would see heavens open up. Heavens open up. And that we see that there's so much more out there for us. So God, I pray, would you overwhelm us? Because we didn't get to this moment alone. You've been working behind the scenes. And so we thank you. We're grateful for that. But God, today also we're saying, we want to work with you. Not behind the scenes, but God, together. Together. God, would you help us? Would you allow us to risk? Would you allow us to be courageous? Would you allow us to move past what we thought a relationship with you looked like into a deeper, more exciting relationship?
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.